Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan. My first guest makes amazing quilts. They look so intricate. They're very precision-oriented. Nora McMeeking has made a lot of quilts, and her series called Bella Quilts is what I'm asking her to come on and talk about. Tell us a little bit about those, because you know she's written a book about it with C&T. She does online workshops, and her go-to method is paper piecing. So I'm very excited to have Nora here. Welcome to the show, Nora.
Hi, thanks, Pat. It's nice to talk to you.
I know. It's so great. We email so much, and then we finally get to talk. Yay!
After all this time.
Yes. So tell me, how did you find quilt making? You know, what was your sort of aha, I'm going to be a quilter moment?
Well, I lived in a small town in Illinois and saw some quilts while I was at a craft show, and so I thought, I'm going to learn how to do that. So I took a class there, and we did everything by hand, drafted our own patterns, and started with the real traditional way of quilt making. And I was really, I think I took off when I realized that I could be just as accurate with a sewing machine as it could by hand, and you can go faster. At least I can go faster.
Right. Yeah, I know. I think most of us can go faster by machine, but there's that rare person who, like, hand pieces at the speed of light, right? It's like...
Yes, I know. I have a friend like that.
I know. It's like every so often you're like, wow, that's just incredible. You actually have an art background. What did you study?
I studied graphic design. And after I got out of college, I worked for some publishers and nonprofits and an advertising agency, too. But I think I liked the publishing the best, the book design and book jacket design.
So it must have been fun when you were doing your own books to sort of come full cycle, huh, to be the author.
Well, it's a lot harder to be the author than the book jacket designer, I'll tell you that.
See, these are the insider tips I give everybody, Nora. That's, nobody would have known that.
I know, I'm sure.
So
the design part is the fun part.
I know. Sorry. Yeah. Your book that's out right now, which I think is the current one, right? Is the Bella Bella Quilts? Is that the most current book?
No, that's the original book, and the new book is called Bella Bella Sampler Quilts.
Oh, okay. All right. So
I couldn't fit all my ideas into one book, so I did a second one.
Well, perfect. Well, we'll kind of talk about them all sort of as a group. There was C&T, and they're the kind of quilts, Nora, when I look at them, I think, oh my gosh, I want to make one, but I don't know. I am not a detail-oriented person. Like, you know, I don't really care if my points are chopped off. And so, you know, I look at yours and think, oh, they're just like such perfection. Are you a real detailed person?
Not actually. I think what I am is compulsive. It's different. I mean, I'm stubborn. I never give up. But I do like accuracy and intricacy and puzzles. And so I think part of that is what drew me to the designs.
And
figuring out how to make them doable.
And they are doable, aren't they? You're not doing something. I mean, the average person could tackle these.
Yes. That was my goal in writing the book, was to give people something that they could be really, really proud of when they got done, but that wouldn't make them go crazy in the process.
Well, that's nice
of
you. We're really happy. We don't want to go crazy.
Yeah. No.
So tell me, these were inspired by a trip that you took. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I got to live in England for a year, and all my life I had wanted to see Venice because I saw pictures as a kid. And so during one of the kids' school breaks, we went to Venice, and I was just starting to quilt. And when I walked into St. Mark's Basilica in Venice and saw the floors, they looked exactly like quilts. And I thought, oh, my gosh, these would make such great quilts. And then it took me about 15 years to learn how to quilt well enough that I thought I could figure out an easy way to do them.
Mm-hmm. You know, Nora, that is probably the most significant thing that when I was reading and we were talking, you know, reading about your work, is that you had this idea that you kept with you for that amount of time. I just think that's awesome.
Well, I had to keep it partly because I couldn't find enough information about the floors. I just saw them that one time, and I didn't even know what they were called. So it took me quite a long time to gather enough information, really, to study the designs and to write the book. But I know a good thing when I see it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The circle ones, you know, that are just, they look just like floor tiles. So when you started drafting these, what's your process?
Well, actually, I took a class on a program called Illustrator because they had a capability of drafting what I call wheel and spoke grids. With a computer. And once I learned how to work that program so that I could draw on those kinds of grids and figure out the patterns and the color placement, that's really how I got going on it. It took learning to do that program because I'm not patient enough to do it all by hand, the drawing part.
There'd be like a lot of math or something, I think. You know, I don't know. I don't even know how to go about. No?
It's not so much the math. I mean, it's not really math. I do it. I'm terrible at math and geometry, but you do it by what's called, technically it's called constructing. But it's one step at a time from A to B, sort of like baking a cake. But if you're making a pattern to be reproduced, or to duplicate, it needs to be very accurate or your mistakes multiply. Mm-hmm. So that's why the computer was such a big help.
Yeah, and I'm always fascinated because as you go out in the rings, you know, picture a circle quilt, you know, everybody, but as you go out in the rings, you know, your perspective changes. A flying geese unit is shaped different further out than it is closer in. So that's all the stuff that you do with the software, with the program you're using.
Yeah. But I could do it with a pencil. It's just that the computer makes it super accurate.
Yeah, and speeds it up. I'm sure it's, well, maybe not.
Yes, actually, I saw a book that was published in the 70s, I think, on the same kinds of floors, and it was all hand-drawn. I really admire whoever wrote it. I didn't own the book. Someone just showed it to me, so I don't know who wrote it.
So when you're doing your work, like tell me a little bit about what's in the insides of the books, whether they buy the first one or the sampler.
The first book is more of the circle and curved designs, and it's full of sort of clever tricks to make the sewing easy. I do quite a bit of cheating, so you have to really read the instructions in that book. And then the second book is, my idea was to work with just the individual patterns and the overall floor designs as a sort of sampler where people could mix and match different blocks, because basically the blocks are traditional style quilt blocks, but they're used in high numbers of quantities. So instead of a sampler with one 12-inch block, it's a sampler with a 12-inch square made up of 3-inch blocks or 4-inch blocks.
Ah, I see. Interesting. That's
Yeah,
and you
that
have
way.
foundation papers for these also that come along, so you don't have to draw their
Yeah,
own.
I like using foundation papers even on some traditional blocks because so many times you have diagonals, and it's a really easy way to cut very odd sizes, and also to keep your fabrics on grain while you're working.
Now you do travel and teach, and you do have an online workshop at Craftsy. What is the online workshop at Craftsy? Is it foundation?
It's basic tips for being accurate, and it includes foundation piecing, but it's also curved seam piecing just with pins and a sewing machine, and accurate pinning and marrying seams, how to press, all the sort of details that sometimes your teacher tells you and then you forget about them because you haven't done them.
Haven't done them
So
in years. Now
yes,
they
it's
could
like
go
somebody told me.
right. I could do a
Yeah.
curve this way. So there they can watch it over and over again and see you hands-on doing the techniques in the Craftsy class.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
Wonderful. So
really great to be able to have that physical process, you know, to have a 3D.
Where is the best place for people to find everything about you online? Tell us your main site.
My website is called www.bellabellaquilts.com.
All right. And then under there you have your classes and your lectures, and you have a calendar of where you'll be, so they could come and meet you in person. Wouldn't that be
Yes,
fun?
and I'm working on it right now to update it and add a blog and patterns and all those goodies.
We always like goodies, Nora. That's So what is your next thing? We have about 10 seconds. What's the next thing you're working on, or what are you working on currently? Either one.
Well, right now I'm getting ready to go off and teach in Colorado, and I'm excited to be teaching at some big conferences coming up at Road to California and then at the Empty Spool Seminars at Asuma, which
Fabulous.
I'm very
Well, Nora,
excited.
this has been
Yeah.
great.
Oh,
Thank you.
thank you, Pat.
Thank you so much
Nice
for being
talking to you.
here. We'll
Thank
be right
you.
back.
Okay.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Another quilter who makes visually dynamic quilts, and titles of her books say it all. They're quilts with pizzazz. Judy Cisneros makes books full of quilts. She has 9-patch pizzazz, rectangle pizzazz, and circle pizzazz, all with CNT Publishing. And I am very excited to have her on here and tell us a little bit about her process, her inspirations, and maybe we'll get some tips. So welcome to the show, Judy.
Thanks, Pat. It's great talking to you.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Your quilts just, they really are. They're just extraordinary. They make you look and look and look. Do people tell you that?
Yes, and it's because I choose wild fabrics. I think the fabric is the star, not the quilt maker. And I'm always drawn to a bright, bright color, and it's something that you can't walk by and not stop and look at.
And you know, you being the quilt maker picked those fabulous fabrics. So, of course, it's all about yes. Judy here. So how long have you been quilting, Judy?
I have been quilting for 25 years, which is shocking to me. And I started quilting because I had a broken leg.
Oh, my goodness.
You can believe that.
And so, yes, like, you
I fell and broke
for
my
fun,
leg,
you would
and
quilt?
Well, I had a cast on for 5 months, and so I quit my job, and one of my best friends said, you're creative and you like to sew. Why don't you take a quilting class with me at the adult school? So I did, and that's how I got started.
Did you start teaching right away? Because I know you've been teaching quilt making for a long time.
Yeah, I started teaching 5 years after I started quilting, and that's because once I realized that you didn't have to always follow patterns, I started making landscape quilts, and those were strip piece landscapes, and everyone that saw them liked them, and they said, well, you need to teach that because we want to know how to do that. And so that's how I got started teaching.
I hear
that
so often.
And then the first book happened because...
People will make something unique, and you show it around, and everybody's like, "Show us how you did that."
Exactly.
So your first book, am I correct? The first book was the Nine Patch Pizzazz.
No, the first one was called Simply Landscapes, and that was a strip piece landscape book that came out in the '90s.
Okay, all right.
And then Nine Patch Pizzazz came out in 2006.
Oh, okay. All right. So, but in the Pizzazz series then, the Nine Patch. So how did you decide to do a book?
Well, I love this Nine Patch look, and I was teaching it a lot, and all my friends said, you know, this needs to be a book. You need to write a book. And so I thought, well, I was a journalism major at college, so maybe I will. So I submitted it to C&T, and they said yes, and so it came out, and they chose the title, The Pizzazz. I knew it would be something with nine patches, and they said, because it has a lot of pizzazz to it, how about Nine Patch Pizzazz? And they were perfectly right. And so the rectangle one, they said, well, let's do that as a pizzazz quilt, too, because everyone knows you from the nine patch. So the second one was rectangle pizzazz. And so when I went to do the one about the circles, it seemed like it had to be pizzazz again. And so it is.
So it is. So why don't you explain what the technique is? Because I'm gathering we're doing sort of something similar, but changing out the shapes and probably adding in new things as you went through your series. But what's the basis of it?
Okay. Of the circle one, you mean?
Of the pizzazz stuff.
Of the circle pizzazz?
Yeah.
Well, the Nine Patch Pizzazz is very simple. It just uses large-scale prints, mostly with 6 or 12-inch blocks, and then nine patches. And the nine patches is what makes your eye go through the quilt. So your eye is drawn through the quilt by the nine patches. And then the rectangles was another fun, fast, finished type of quilt that is done with a lot of large-scale prints, too, and big blocks. And mostly rectangles, so you can get it finished quickly.
Perfect.
And then the circle one is totally different.
Okay. Well, then let's talk about that one, because that is the newest one.
Okay.
And the just the movement in it, you know, and as I look through the book itself, I mean, you have lots of variations on color, which I think is just beautifully done, because you can see such a difference in the color. So tell me a little bit about what's the design is that the book is about, the working design.
Okay. One of my all-time favorite blocks is an old traditional block called Snake Trail. I have taught that class for years, but I call it Winding Paths, because I didn't think anybody would sign up for a class called Snake.
Yeah.
So I didn't call it Snake. So I called it Winding Paths. And I have taught it for 20 years, and I love the block. And I was trying to come up with something new, and so I was sitting in my studio staring at one of those quilts with the Snake Trail block on it, and I thought, what if I made the block and then changed it and recut it? So I took the largest piece And I turned it the other direction and cut it again from the completed block. And the first quilt that I made, I didn't know if it would even work. Mm-hmm. So I used scraps just because I didn't want to use my expensive fabric. So I did it
right.
out
Don't
of
use anything good.
And thank you. And it worked. And then I started teaching it, and I thought, you know, maybe I do have another book in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. And then C&T chose that first quilt, which is totally scrappy. They chose that one for the cover. And I had no idea that they would choose that one. But they said because it's bright and everybody will see a fabric that they love in that quilt.
Mm-hmm. Neat.
So the response has been great.
Now, tell me a little bit about how you go about picking fabrics for quilts like this for your Circle Pizzazz quilts.
Okay, I am a color girl. I really like color. And my rule of fabric is if it doesn't add, it doesn't play. Mm-hmm. So I set out a whole group of fabrics and see how nicely they play with each other. And if there's one that hogs all the attention or one that sort of muddies down the water, I don't use those.
Okay.
Because I want them all to work together to make the quilt more beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And you're putting those out on a table? Are you putting them like on the floor and walking away? Are you putting them up on a design wall?
All of the above. Depends on the mood I'm in. Sometimes I just get a pile of fabric and start pulling them out and see what I like. And I go with fabric that I really love, always.
Now, do you have maybe a tip or suggestion? You know, what if people are looking at their pile of fabric, or maybe they've even started working, and the colorations are just not happening? You know, it's either the design is not happening, or there's something that's off with the colors. What can they do to figure out what's wrong?
Well, one thing you can do is kind of cheating or sneaky. On the selvage of the fabric, if you take the fabric that you like the best that you're going to use, on the selvage are a lot of small circles with different colors in them. And those colors are all colors that are used in that print. So you can use that as your guide to pick out colors that will go with that focus fabric.
So if something's not right, maybe go ahead and use those color dots to sort of walk around what's there and find something that needs to be taken out, because it's usually or added
and
in
then I
right
take, or added in exactly. And then usually I fold small lines of fabric that I have when I'm auditioning fabric, and I lay them across the feature fabric, and I see, does this complement or does it take away? Like yellow, you have to be very careful with, because yellow adds, but it also sometimes doesn't play well with others. It takes all the attention. So you have to be careful with yellow. But you want fabrics that are going to be pleasing to the eye, not overwhelming. You need a place for your eye to kind of rest. Mm-hmm. But in my quilts, it's always the fabric that is the star, and the color is what makes it work for me.
So tell me a little bit about there's a group of them in the book that have really spectacular borders. Are those the same technique?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I just wanted to use some of the extra blocks that I had cut out into the border. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes a more interesting quilt. So I did that. And then in the Circle Pizzazz book, there are what I call planned overs, which are the pieces that are cut out from the original block. And, of course, I'm not going to throw those away. I'm going to use those in a secondary quilt. So there are many options in the book which show you what to do with those planned-over pieces. I call them planned-overs, not leftovers.
Well, perfect. And then you even have a gallery in this book of, are these students' quilts?
Yes, student. Yes, those are all student quilts. And they range in size from, I think the smallest one is 6 blocks, and the largest one is 144 blocks. She just went berserk. And I had acrylic templates made, because you really need good templates to make this, because you're using so many curved lines that you need more than cardboard or plastic templates. So mm-hmm. I have had acrylic templates made, which I sell on my website, or you can I can sell them to shops or, you know, individuals.
Perfect. Perfect. And your website, tell everybody your website name.
It's www.judycisneros.com.
Okay, and that's SISNEROS.com. Judy
yes,
with a Y.
Right. Uh-huh.
So they can find
yes.
you. So what
and
would
I
be
have
your
Facebook page?
Oh, you do? Oh, good.
Judy Cisneros Quilts with Pizzazz.
They can come hang out with you on there. Do you have a favorite quilt,
Absolutely.
Judy, that you still want to make as a quilter?
No, I make every one that I want to make. Right now I'm making another one, and I just when I get them in my mind, I make them right then because I can't stand not to.
And you're a finisher too.
I am a finisher.
Perfect. You know, Judy, this has been so wonderful to have you on here and share about your quilts. They are
Thank
spectacular.
You. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Everybody visit Judy at judycisneros.com. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We are going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back with two more guests this afternoon. We're going to talk a little bit about some new fabric lines that are out and some journaling.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos. Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I am always excited to see what Amy Berrickman of Indigo Junction is up to. She has been in business designing fabrics and patterns and books, and I have, you know, everything is always fresh and new. She's always got some great new idea to share with us. So hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi, Pat. I'm great. How are you doing?
I am wonderful.
Good. Well, you're so sweet. We're always having fun coming up with new ideas.
Oh, you are. You're like the idea factory over there at Indigo Junction. I'm just, you know, always want to peek. You know, when I get your newsletter, I'm always like, what's new? What's up over there? so tell me a little bit about you've been doing fabric, you know, for a while now, but you have some new things that I think are pretty fun, and two new lines. Let's first talk about the Soho bandana line, because I think this is pretty fun.
Well, thanks. This line, we're very excited about it because it was a chance for us to combine a great fabric and then actually produce some patterns that specifically complemented the fabric. And the fabric started with my love for vintage bandanas, and I've been collecting them for years. And then I found this wonderful apron that had a border print that was reminiscent of a bandana theme. And so we put it all together and then came up with a color palette, added, you know, we had the traditional, the blue and the red, really happy with the red we came up with. And then we added the green, kind of a chartreuse, and something a little more contemporary and fun and with fashion, wanting to be able to incorporate it into some different bag patterns and tunics and things like that, as well as quilting, of course. It's and it's great for, like, table decor, table runners, placemats,
We just have had a lot of fun pushing the envelope on, you know, what can we do with the fabric and where can we use it.
And so you do
it's been really exciting.
You do a lot of samples. Besides doing YouTube videos, you also have a lot of pictures on your site that show the fabric in action. Because you make up like patterns that you have existing patterns in the new fabrics, right?
Correct. We focused on not only coming out with some new ones, but then looking back at our our top sellers and creating some of those patterns in this new line. And then we decided, why not create a lookbook? So we do have a video on our YouTube channel and it's on our website too, that showcases a lot of great ideas for the fabric and really, you know, ideas for a lot of different fabrics as far as, you know, how to use border prints versus the more graphic repeat and things like that. But we did a lot of samples for this line, and it was fun to just see it all evolve. And it really led to our second line, actually, from this.
From this one? Oh, that's cool. So what you're doing here just sort of jumped you off onto the other one? Okay.
Right. What good segue there, right?
Yeah. Perfect.
We're looking at color and thinking, gosh, wouldn't it be great to have a line of denims, have some denims to coordinate back with the Soho bandana line? And so we were able to partner with a company and produce, the green is called Midtown Moss. And so this line is Crossroads by Amy Berrickman, and it's not only the denim line, but then we also developed a line of patterns called under the Crossroads brand. So if you see a Crossroads pattern in a shop, it's an Indigo Junction who's behind it, essentially.
Okay.
So that has been really exciting to be able to take and, again, produce a fabric line and have specific patterns that coordinate. It really helps shops to and people to have a simple solution for project or a garment.
But that always happens, doesn't it? You look at the fabric and you're like, okay, well, I love it, but what am I going to make? You know, I mean, everybody does that at some point. You know, sometimes you want to see how it's going to, you know, come out when
finish,
you start cutting it. Yeah.
Well, and that's the nice thing we found with the denim line. It'll be available as a basic in a lot of the shops. So it'll be something that we'll continue to build new designs around. And if people have really responded well to the fabric as far as its functionality and, you know, how it works well into both home and fashion. So it's been exciting to see people inspired by it.
So tell me a little bit, let's talk a little bit more in depth, because like a lot of quilters, first of all, do not come from garment making. I mean, I know that you love clothing and I love garment making. We both come from that. But they are not used to working with something that isn't quilt cotton weight. So how much heavier is Crossroads than quilting cotton?
It is probably a little it's a 10-ounce denim. It's a feel of like a little heavier linen, like think of linen, but a little heavier weight linen. Or maybe if you've seen those lighter weight decorator fabrics that some of the quilting designers have come out with. It's more about, it's that weight. It's kind of it's a really nice stabilizer for quilting cottons too, like as a lining or the exterior of a bag. It works really well. We even fuse like cotton and the denim together, and we've done that in one of our patterns, the Take Two Tech Pouch. It's a little business card holder or phone holder or actually a iPad or tablet case, and we fused the two together. So that's a nice solution too.
Now, are all the denims? Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, are all the denims solid, or do you have patterns too?
Right now, we just have solid, and there are 13 colors in white. Some really beautiful. People have been drawn to the downtown teal and Soft aqua. There's
And
we have a great sweet potato color if people are thinking about fall and and sewing, getting back to the sewing machine now that we're back to school. So
I just love it.
Quilted with it too. There's a actually we have a Crossroads video lookbook similar to the Soho video I mentioned, and in that video we show a quilt, we show upholstered furniture with the fabric, just as well as the clothing and bags, pillows, some really fun techniques with ripping it and fabric manipulation. So we're having a lot of fun with it.
I just can't wait to try some because I just, I love different weights of fabric, and I'm not, I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid to mix them. I think it's so easy. And this sounds like it's a very doable weight for anybody who wants to sort of branch out of their quilting cottons. And I love it in the clothing. Oh my gosh. It looks amazing.
Well, thank you. We were really excited about the clothing, the, particularly like the five-way wrap is a really easy, like if somebody's looking just to dip their toes into doing some garment sewing, that would be a great pattern for people to start with. The cutting edge jacket, that pattern is wonderful because it actually, we've designed it so it showcases quilting cottons in the jacket. So I think that would be a really nice appeal. And then we've also done machine embroidery and hand embroidery on the fabric.
Oh, wow.
And that has, the machine embroidery has just had beautiful results because it's just a nice weight for, you know, whether it be a sparsely covered design or something that's more dense. And then we have a book coming out, Stitch Style, and that is all hand embroidery on the Crossroads.
Oh, okay.
So we just have a lot going on with the Crossroads line.
You always got a lot going on. you do. You are just like amazing.
Well, you, I think you're pretty amazing too. So I think we'll make a good pair here.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about clothing a little bit because, you know, I'm always, you know, for a little while there, I like swore off of making clothing because, you know, all I did was buy the patterns and save them and I wasn't doing them. And so I'm, you know, recently, you know, I've been chatting to you about that. It's like, I, you know, I'm looking to make something because the fabrics are so beautiful that we have in the quilt industry and they will look fantastic on clothing. What are you seeing with clothing? Because your company has always produced clothing patterns that are easy for quilters to do.
Well, what I think is happening is with the modern quilting movement, I think that, like you had said, these fabrics are gorgeous and people want to showcase them. And if you figure out a way to wear them, you know, we're putting them in bags and purses, but what else can we do as far as garments? Where I'm seeing it happening is more, I think, accents on garments versus just a fully quilted jacket that we may have done, you know, 15 years ago.
Right.
That's what I mentioned with the that cutting edge jacket. It has the accents. I think, too, you know, you're seeing that contemporary style, and that's going to translate into the clothing as well. We have a jacket that's called the Crossroads Trench too. That's a new one. That's a simple basic garment. So I think where people are going to be showcasing the fabrics is, you know, accenting here and there. We have a couple, although our I'd also say our tunic, our urban tunic, which is a new pattern, it's a great style for like, for instance, a border print or a more tone-on-tone fabric. Some of the larger, more graphic florals are beautiful when you can showcase them in one larger, you know, cut of a pattern. So I think really simple shapes and styles that showcase the fabric well are where I see the garments going and the fashion sewing and wearables.
And
but it's exciting
like,
to see it all coming back.
It is. I just am really excited, you know, and I, like you said, we're not going to probably be wearing our quilts like we did. It was very popular at one point. Our wearables look like our quilts. I mean, not exactly, but they were. And, you know, it's a different, you know, that was years ago. So now just being able to take a big piece of fabric, I think your Urban Tunic is the one that for me, I would look at that and say to somebody who has, you know, a beautiful piece of fabric they want to showcase, that that would be one to try, because you even have a version that you don't need a zipper, that is just pull on, right?
Correct. Right. So yeah. For the beginner, you know, more novice fashion sewing enthusiast, this is a great one to start with. And we have found that, you know, the simpler, the better when people are getting started in the garment sewing, and then we build, you know, we can build from there with more challenging patterns. But again, like for instance, our retro raglan jacket, it has buttons, but we actually use giant snaps instead of having to make buttonholes. Nobody wants to make buttonholes. So they don't have to.
Yeah.
We won't require it.
I love that.
So, yeah.
Oh.
And then we've had fun actually showcasing, you know, the quilting in, for instance, our Brooklyn bag. We did some modern contemporary quilting on the pocket. So we're pulling quilting back in subtle accents, and I think it's working pretty well, and people are liking it.
And people love to make bags. I think they will always love to make bags, and it's such a great way to showcase our fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And that Brooklyn bag is a nice layout.
It has nice big pockets on the side, and it's just one of those great carry-alls. The nice thing is you can use your cottons on the pockets. Like, say you made the bag out of the Crossroads denim, you could accent the pockets with the Soho Bandana or one of your favorite, you know, quilting fabrics from a designer.
Right. Amy, this has been wonderful. I want people to know your website is indigojunction1word.com, and you have a newsletter and a blog and all kinds of fun things. This
right.
has been wonderful.
We do. Well, thank you. And we are having a blog tour and a big sewing giveaway for the month of September. So come by and visit.
Okay, go to indigojunction.com and check the blog. Get in on it. We'll be right back
after
the break.
Thanks so much, Pat.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Our show is sponsored by Moda Fabrics. You can find them at unitednotions.com, where there is a link to the Moda Bake Shop, to downloadable patterns, and even swatch sets for your favorite fabrics. So be sure you check it out. Now I am going to welcome Jamie Fingal from Jamie Fingal Designs. Jamie is a rock star. I want to be Jamie when I grow up. I've been following her work, her color, her expression, her just freedom of what she does is so spectacular. It speaks to me personally. It's work that I really enjoy looking at and admiring and would love to be able to do. So Jamie's going to share a little insight into some sketching with us today and how to kind of get your ideas out there. And she has something new too. So, hey, Jamie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Pat. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for asking me.
You know, I just love your work. You know, I love your work. It's so exciting.
Thank you.
Oh, it's so exciting. Can you just describe for people who haven't met you yet, haven't met your work, what type of quilts you make?
I primarily make quilts for the wall with really bright colors, and they're whimsical, have, you know, like houses with cups and saucers on the roofs, or people with cups and saucers on their heads. Just fun. Totally
just fun.
You know, out there, in your face.
Well, you know, it just, everything you do makes me smile. It's just like, you know, oh my gosh, I want to just go out there and make them. You know, you are a big proponent of sketching. And
I am.
I think, yeah, and I think that a lot of quilters, me included, really, we don't sketch enough. And I thought maybe we could just talk about that a little bit. Tell me your process.
Sure.
You know, what do you do? Do you sketch every day?
You know, I don't sketch every day, but I do carry a sketchbook in my purse with me. So I, you know, wherever I am, if something inspires me, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to draw it. Mm-hmm. And I think that one thing was being part of the sketchbook challenge, which kind of brought me back to drawing on a more regular basis. But I do sketch out all my quilts before I make them.
Mm-hmm. Do you sketch them tiny, really tiny, and
yeah,
then blow them up?
Yeah, I sketch them tiny, actually, because my sketchbook, the squares are only like 2.5 inches by 2 inches.
I bought that sketchbook because you mentioned it. I bought it.
Right, it's like the storybook book, and it's very easy because it's not overwhelming. You're not overwhelmed by, you know, an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper.
Right, and it's actually, there's sort of like that book has little boxes already on it, right?
Right, it has boxes already on it, yeah. So it's, you know, it's very doable. You look at that and you think, oh, I could do anything in that little teeny square.
And right now, September of 2013, people go to your blog for this month. You have some of your sketches that you're showing, which is really
I do.
Neat to see.
I do. Yeah, I had a little a journey that I was on, and I kept track of everything that I did. And even on, you know, like going on a vacation, I drew pictures every day of what we did on our vacation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, eventually maybe one of those pieces will become a quilt.
Mm-hmm. Now, for someone, let's talk about this like a little bit deeper, because I sketch, but I didn't really grow up as a sketcher. I mean, I doodled, but mostly when I was in a meeting and I needed to occupy my mind on something less boring. And so I would draw flowers mostly. But
yeah, I do that too.
Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, is this over yet? But, you know, I think there's really power in doing little bitty drawings. And a lot of us don't maybe feel like we can draw a cup, you know, the perspective and all that stuff. How can people start getting comfortable?
Well I think, you know, what's great about getting this kind of sketchbook, because it is not, it's not overwhelming, but get yourself a pencil with an eraser and just start drawing. I think the more you draw, the better you're going to get, and you're going to feel more comfortable with drawing. I don't use a pencil very often anymore. I just use a go for it with the pen. And I don't really care about what it looks like, really. It's just, it's a journey for me, myself, mm-hmm. to kind of look at, be able to look at something and then start drawing it.
Well, I'm just looking at the kayak that you did. And I think for people to visualize, you know,
kayak.
I just love that you did, you know, the kayaks are drawn so you see them as if they're transparent. So they all are sort of meeting in
right.
the middle. But you didn't say, oh, I can't, I have to erase this line because the one's on top of the other and you wouldn't normally see it. You just drew them.
Right. No, I just thought it was, you know, it was like exploring a different way of drawing for me. Usually my drawings are really tight, mm-hmm. where, you know, there's a chair, there's a wall, there's a table, there's pictures on the wall. And then I thought when I was doing the kayaks, I went, you know what, let's just change it up a bit. And let's just overlap them and, you know, kind of make some movement with the water and throw the paddles in there. And, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, as I was looking at that, I'm like thinking, God, you could do that in quilting too. You could, with each one of those lines, and you could put in a different kind of fabric and mm-hmm. be kind of interesting. Jamie Single makes cubists. I don't know.
the movement, the movement. So Jamie, how do you take these little drawings? Let's say one of these. Okay, we'll stay with the kayak since we started there. Let's say you wanted to make that in fabric now. What is your next step, your personal work process?
My next step would be to enlarge it on a great big piece of paper, the size that my quilt would be. Mm-hmm. I would enlarge it. And in the past, I've enlarged it with a projector. Now I just, I would take this, I would Xerox it, and I would fold the paper into fourths, and I draw a fourth at a time on a great big piece of graph paper to enlarge it. And it may not be perfect, may not be exactly like this, mm-hmm. but it would be pretty close. And then I would start picking my fabrics and auditioning them on the wall to see what goes with what.
So when you're auditioning, are you squishing all the fabric up, or do you actually cut pieces out and lay it up there?
No, I actually just pin them on my design wall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just have, you know, like, I'll have, like, pieces that are already pre-fused. I have, like, drawers and drawers of pre-fused fabrics by color. And I'll just take them out of my drawers and pin them up on the wall to see, you know, what goes with what and make sure it's the right values. And pretty much I'm working with the same color palette all the time, which is really bright. I don't have any pastels in my, mm-hmm. not one pastel in my stash.
So,
you know,
pale pink.
Are, you know, there are different values in that bright color palette. So mm-hmm. I want to be careful of that. Mm-hmm. I'll make sure the pieces, the fabrics that are near each other are complementary fabrics so that the colors pop out where they need to pop out in the design.
So if you're looking at your personal piece that you're working on and you're saying to yourself, something's not, it's not it, you know, what generally would that be? What's missing or what needs tuned?
You know, I think one of the things, I always have my camera or, you know, my iPhone, and I take a picture of it and I want to see it smaller. Usually when I see it smaller, I can figure out what I did wrong.
Mm-hmm. What is it bugging you?
Yeah, what is bugging me, and maybe something needs to be repositioned, or maybe there's, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is I'm always looking for just the right balance in my pieces and the mm-hmm. balance of color and the balance of movement. Mm-hmm. And that's like the last thing I do before it goes to be quilted.
Ooh.
So taking a picture of it is the greatest way to see. You know, I mean, there's probably other ways, but I like just looking at it on my camera to see, oh, mm-hmm. yeah, I can see that glaring place right there.
Right. Yeah, look, one thing pops up. I love the camera, too. I mean, it really shows you if you have one color
it's a great
that's
tool.
Dominating.
Right.
So,
you know,
so you,
and
you also,
or I can text a friend and ask her.
Yeah, that's right. I do that too. What's wrong with this? I don't like it yet.
See what you can see, because I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. Tell me what's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have all this fabulous stuff that you've been doing, and I hear you have some news, something new coming out.
I do.
And I want to hear about it.
Excited.
No, share.
I am so excited. I have a line of fabric coming out at Fall Market with Hoffman California Fabrics. Yoo-hoo! I'm so excited. Yeah. And it's called Home is Where Your Story Begins.
Wow.
And it has about 11 fabrics in it. And a lot of it is my drawings and watercolors.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very excited. It's a It's Hoffman, Fabric, California, the screen fabrics. Print. Mm-hmm. Yes. So excited.
So excited.
Bubbling over.
Are you going to do patterns? Are you going to show us how to use it?
I am. I'm going to, I'm in the midst of designing patterns. I'm designing a pattern for Hoffman for their website. Mm-hmm. I'll be at Quilt Market. I'm going to do a schoolhouse.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm going to be designing other kinds of patterns that I'll be selling in the booth. And I'm just totally excited. I've never done this before. I'm like a fish out of water. But this is like such a dream come true for me to be able to design fabric in my own signature style. I'm just so happy. I can't stand it.
I know. You know, when you told me that, I was like so excited for you because I can see it. You know, I can see your drawings going onto fabric. So I'm really can't wait. Will it be like 6 months later till it's in the stores then?
I think so. It's sometime next year. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I will have on my blog sometime this week, I'll do like a sneak peek
mm-hmm. Ooh,
of what is to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be a fun ride.
Well, Jamie, so. I am thrilled beyond thrilled for you, and I can't wait to see it. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pat. Thank you.
So what, everybody to go visit Jamie at Jamie Fingal, Fingal Designs, all one word, .blogspot.com. And thank you, Jamie.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. This was really fun.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Every week we have new guests who come and chat with me. Might be three people or four people. You should go out and visit American Patchwork and Quilting at our website, allpeoplequilt.com, where we have videos and free patterns. You can come visit me at my blog, PatSloan.com. You can get to the blog and all the other things that I'm doing. And listen to the show every day via iTunes, or you can listen online, whatever works for you. We're excited to have you here. I'm excited to have you as a listener. So we will see you next week with a whole new show. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
To visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for